live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in Chicago, Illinois. It's Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. On tonight's show, we have Representative Anderson, food from Blue Goose Market with Paul Lencioni. We also take a quick look into the marijuana industry with Michael Heron. All the way from L.A., we have comedian Brody Stevens joining us. With Brandon C. Price riding sidecar, don't forget to get your calls in for Tell Me Something Good at the end of the show. And now, here she is, Patty Vasquez.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is the CEO and mastermind behind Vamp, the music, comedy, and drinking show, every Friday and Saturday night at MCL Chicago, over by there, over at Sheffield and Belmont, across the street from the Vic.
Perfect.
Finally, right? Just say yeah. Fine. You could say finally.
I mean,
finally.
It's consistent. You bet a solid 400 on this.
It's fine. You know who I'll get right? I'm going to get Representative Anderson's name correctly. Look at that. Only it's Anderson because it has two S's. Hello, sir. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, Patty. How are you? It's good to be on the show.
Well, thank you so much. I didn't realize until today that you've only been in studio with us, and we have not had the pleasure of having you on the phone. And we need to rectify that and make sure that you're on regularly when you have time.
Well, it's much more fun to be in studio, but I'm happy to be able to report from Springfield when we need to.
Well, and I know that there's a lot going on, and people have been talking all day. Rob Martier has been reporting in the news that the Senate Democrats have passed a budget and a budget implementation bill. That I'm not really sure what that means, but that's neither here nor there, because the important part is what people are hearing is that right. This is something that raises income taxes. There is a temporary property tax freeze, and there's a lot of other components of it, including sales taxes on things like tattoo parlors and piercings, lawn services. And what happens next?
So right now, what the Senate has done is they have largely sent us most of the bills that comprise what people euphemistically call the grand bargain. Now, the good part about that is that they've sent something to the House. So now we have something that we can work on. The unfortunate part is it really didn't come over the way that I and I think a lot of other people had hoped it would come over.
How would you have liked to? Go ahead. I think you were about to get to that. Go ahead.
The way that I think a lot of people were hoping it would come over was in more of a bipartisan way. There are pieces. There are pieces that came over where there was Republican support and Democratic support. But on the particular pieces, particularly the revenue and the budget itself, it ended up only being Democratic votes on that. I would have liked to have seen that come over in a more of a compromise fashion. That didn't happen. I'm not gonna cast aspersions and say why that didn't happen. What I'm focused on is now that it's in the House, now it's our job, and our job is to craft that compromise.
Right. And there are some rumblings, and it's only because I was in the hallways of the Capitol, that perhaps the House is also, the Democrats in the House might be creating another budget. Is that something you've heard as well?
Yes, absolutely. I've heard that. I don't think that that's much of a secret at this point.
Thank God.
I do think that what they're going to do is not something dramatically different than what has been proposed in the Senate. So it might be a different vehicle bill, but I still think that my colleagues on the Democratic side are still looking at the framework that came through. So whether you call it the grand bargain from the Senate or whether it's a Democratic version of that, will it be different? Sure, it's going to be different. Different people are involved with different motivations. But I still think it's not going to be outrageously different. So I think there's plenty of room to work on this and to find that compromise.
Well, the deadline is to find a compromise. You have the deadline to pass anything with a majority. And yes, the Democrats have a majority, the ability to have a simple majority in the House and in the Senate. They don't necessarily have a supermajority. And for folks who don't know, that means that should the governor overturn something, they can't actually then veto the overturn. Wait, No.
They can't override a veto in the House. They could do it in the Senate. That's possible, but you need to do it in the House as well.
Right.
In order to do that, you would need at least 5 Republicans to agree to that.
So either way, this needs to have, as you mentioned before, bipartisan compromise in the works so that it is something that ultimately, you know, if the governor decides he doesn't like it, it's something that the House could say, you know what, as a matter of fact, these are our values. This is what we think we need to spend money on and how we think we need to raise it.
It's a possibility. I mean, at this point, you know, we are beyond crisis. I was about to say we're in crisis, but that's an understatement. We are beyond crisis. And so I think you see a lot of members here who are looking at their districts very closely and saying, what do I do to best serve my district? And for some people, that will align, you know, perfectly with the governor. Some people, that will align perfectly with the speaker. And I commend those people for voting their districts. I think that that's what they need to do. How that will exactly play out, don't know. But my job, quite frankly, and what I'm spending all my time on is trying to push compromise.
I agree.
Nobody here has the votes to do just what they want.
Well, and I was surprised at how much people are talking about the temporary property tax freeze. And I understand the governor wants to keep property taxes as high as they are. He wants to keep them where they are. Why isn't he moving toward lowering property taxes?
Well, I don't think it's accurate to say that the governor wants to keep property taxes high. I think what he's trying to do is stop them from going higher yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood property tax freeze. Okay.
Yeah. And I do think that he wants to ultimately see them come down. And by the way, I think the Democrats and Republicans would agree with that statement.
Right.
The question is, how do we do that properly? So much of that is tied into education funding reform, because really education, the funding of education is driving our property taxes. So the more we delve into that question, the better we do. I think part of what the governor is trying to do is to stop those from going up while we figure out a solution.
Right. And since we can't even get to the agreement of a temporary property tax freeze, I guess it would be even harder to do the rest of the, you know, rolling everyone's sleeves up, because you guys have been, you've been working hard, been trying to crack this nut, as it were. I know that the Senate bill, which was only passed by Democrats, no Republicans voted for this, does have income tax increases, and people are concerned with the numbers. I've been thinking about this because I drove all the way back from Springfield today, and I was on the roads. You know, our roads are pretty decent. There are places where there's some construction, and I was thinking about how much has stalled in the last 2 years. And part of that are public works, whether that's bridges and road work, you know, whether it's being able to provide the kind of care that the elderly need, that and the education. We've obviously talked to a lot of students over the last couple of days, and I realized it hit me that, you know, our income taxes are an investment in our neighbors and an investment in empowering, you know, and protecting children and families. And I know that it's hard to want to pay more, but what are you willing to spend money on? And it seems like we want to spend money on making the state better.
Right. And if you look at what happened in the Senate, most of the negotiations were actually on a Republican-based bill, Senator Bradley's bill. Senator Bradley's bill proposed raising the personal income tax rate to 4.95% and the corporate rate to 7%. And that's what the Senate Democrat bill actually did. So people are talking about the revenue component, because the things you talked about are correct. Is, you know, we are a society. We function together. We can't simply go it alone. And we have to decide what that is worth. One of the calculations I did as I look at this question, and I haven't decided exactly where I am on any of this because we're still working on it.
Right.
But one of the calculations that I did was, I said, what happens to your average person in the state who makes the median state income, which is about $59,000 a year, when you go from 3.75, our current tax rate, up to the proposed 4.95. It's about $100 a month. Now, that's not an insignificant amount, but if you divide that amongst 30 days, you're at $3.33 a day. So my question for people, and I'm not presuming the answer. My question to the people in my district is $3.33 a day for your average person, is that worth it to restart our state? because, quite frankly, we're on fire. You know, we have lost our social service safety network. Businesses are fleeing because of the unpredictability of this place. Why would anybody come to the state of Illinois to open a business when they can't tell whether we're going to exist financially in a year? So that I'm seriously asking people in my district that question. I want to know, is it worth it? If the answer from my district is yes, if that's what they tell me to do, I'll do it. If the answer is no, then I guess I have to find another way. But one way or another, you know, the people that I represent are the people I'm listening to.
Go ahead.
Is there a GOP argument saying that the income tax is coming at the wrong target? You know what I mean? Now we're making everybody pay when there's other. I mean, I'm seeing this pop up as an argument that's coming up for this. And like, what would be the other option if I'm your constituent and I say no, that's not worth it to me. I don't want to pay 5%. And I mean, is there any other option? Some I'm expecting you to turn to.
We could. Well, I mean, there's a few. We could look at cuts. And honestly, I expect cuts. We do spend more than we should. And again, the Senate bargain, the Senate proposals actually proposed about $3 billion with a B worth of cuts. So there's not insignificant cuts being proposed. Mm-hmm. That's not enough to get us across the finish line. But if you're talking about different types of revenue, one of the things actually Governor Rauner, when he campaigned on, was spreading the tax. In other words, looking at service taxes and things like that, some of which has found its way into some of the bills. Not all of them, but some of them. So that's another way to look at it. You can say, well, if I don't want to pay, you know, an income tax, maybe there's a different type of tax that's more palatable to people. And all of those options should be on the table. I'm not a fan. Make no mistake. And I don't think there's a person down here who is a fan of raising taxes. Nobody wants to do that. The question is, can we solve this problem without it? If people think that the answer is just to cut us to the bone and enough people agree with that, I guess that's what we'll do. I personally think it has to be a blend of significant cuts, some reforms, and revenue.
We have to run. I know. Brandon, do you have one more question, Brandon?
So I agree to give my additional like one and whatever percentage. How, as a normal human being and citizen of the state, how does my government insure me and earn my trust that I think, you know, is kind of an issue in politics up and down the scale these days, that my additional money is definitely going to the roads and the schools and these dire fires that you're talking about?
By the way, this addresses Ken, who's on hold as far as mismanaged money goes. He has his concerns about that. So, Ken, we're going to lump that in with Brandon's comments. Go ahead, Representative Anderson.
It's an excellent question, you know, and I mean, the accusations are always that there's a lot of waste, fraud, and abuse in every level of government. And I'm not going to deny that. There is. There are things that I see here that frustrate the heck out of me. All I can tell you, you know, if you ask for a guarantee, I'm going to be honest with you. I can't give you a guarantee. But what I can tell you is I think I have 118 people in the House who are committed to doing the right thing. And that right thing is trying to right that ship and correct those abuses. I don't think there's people down here who want to encourage that, who want to vote for that. They want to fix that. And we try to do that on a daily basis. I realize maybe I'm a pie-eyed optimist. I've been accused of that a lot. But I think that we can do that.
And I also, I mean, and this is, I do have to make this, you and I can wrap it up here, is that I think that we have to go from where we are. I think that a lot of the last 2 years has been, well, we got here because of this, or this is all their fault or your fault. At some point, and you've said this, Representative Anderson, as far as mm-hmm. leadership goes, this is where we are. Where are we going to go from here right now?
Correct. Exactly right.
And again, Representative Anderson represents the 65th District. He is the Republican minority floor leader. Always great. I love watching you debate. It's just a pleasure to listen to you, and your arguments are always fantastic, sir.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure talking with you, and have a great night.
You as well. We'll talk to you next week. We'll put you in. Now you're gonna be sick of us by the time we're done, sir.
No, I welcome it any time.
Have a great evening. Get some rest because you have to fix the state.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too. More after this. We have our friends in the green room, the Blue Goose Market, with Paul and Dakota joining us in just a moment on 720 WGN. Sorry, Ken. We'll be right back. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by the, I think, equally giddy Brandon C. Price, who is the mastermind and CEO behind Vamp, the music, comedy, and drinking show. Because right now we have in studio with us the absolutely astounding Paul Lencioni, who is making us lean back and piling food into our faces. Would you say it's an accurate description of what's happening with Paul?
But it doesn't seem to be any food. It's incredible.
Oh, my
amazing.
God. Every single place.
Super specific.
You are so excited about this, Paul. Now, you grew up. Your grandmother opened the store in the 1920s.
Great-grandmother.
Your great-grandmother.
Great-grandmother. Nancy.
In 1928. What inspired her, I'm guessing, from Italy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she decides to open a grocery store. Was it something that her family had done in Italy?
I don't know. At that time, I think that's just what Italians did in Chicago. They just opened grocery stores.
Is it still the same? Like, how much has it expanded, or is it the exact same size that she had?
No. She started. So it's still a small grocery store, supermarket. I mean, supermarket for sure. But it's definitely grown through the years, but it's still only 30,000 square feet, which is like maybe half of what you'd think of seeing a standard conventional chain store. So
that's sizable, though.
No, it's bigger. It's bigger than like your small format. So it's this really cool, comfortable, you know, size. It's just comfortable. It's a lot of fun. It's like it's kind of all the room you need to run without having extra, you know, superfluous, you know, things you don't need.
Sure. Well, yeah, that's the thing. Is that it seems as though you're very specific on what you carry in your store, because everything you show us is incredible. So you select these. Do you have like suppliers come in? And
yes. It's such it's hard to describe. Like, the way that we do it, we find great stuff. And mm-hmm. I mean, there's great stuff all over the place. You're like, oh, but it's a supermarket. It's just food. You're like, no, that's not the right way to do this. There's better food out there. There's better food all over the place. There's fresher produce. There are better ranches. There is better food. One of the things that's kind of, you know, the challenge in my life is, you know, when somebody's like, oh, you know, I made this terrific meal. It's so weird. It turned out better. You're like, no, better ingredients. Like, no, that just, it's not an accident. You're like, hello, they're not all the same people. But so we work really hard. I mean, my team, it's about people. You know, you take a look, you're like, the food is super fun. But at the end of the day, I wasn't excited to bring great food. I was excited to come here with you and show you cool things. I mean, if you're not doing it for the people that are around you, if you're not excited about, you know, kind of throwing a party, you know, and inviting everybody in to check out what's so cool, then you're going to have it wrong.
You have really, I mean, in everything you explained everything, and I love, as you mentioned, it's about people. You told us about the stone ground mustard. It's made by Jim Kelly, mm-hmm. and the Hungarian pepper
relish, yeah, right?
Which is amazing. The steak, what's happening there? Because it's so good. It's like it's like sweet, and then you put boar's head horseradish sauce on it.
Right, absolutely. It's I don't know how to describe it. It's kind of like one of those moments where you're eating like this melt in your mouth steak sandwich, and you and your buddy look at each other and you just giggle. You're like, it's just crazy.
I know. See how excited.
Who knew it could be so good?
And you have, and then the bacon. We were talking about this is bacon,
bacon jerky. Absolutely. So I brought in.
It's a little for Brandon. Go ahead.
A little company that's brokered by a good friend of ours. So, and that's part of it is you got to know. You know, like I tell people, I'm like, listen, when you think of the Blue Goose, you think, I know a guy. I got a guy. So, I mean, we're out there. We work really hard to know everybody in the industry and find small niche products that are, you know, and that are so much better than anybody knows. And, you know, they're not huge. And we're like, oh, come on, we'll introduce you to everybody. And then, you know, my GM and I, Matt, I hope you're probably sleeping.
Hey, Matt.
We'll kind of giggle and be like, this is so good. People are going to love this. And that's what makes it fun for us. Because literally, I tell my employees, I was like, it's like we're throwing a party every day. Invite everybody you know, have as much fun as possible, you know, and you find great things that you can get excited about. Because I think in my industry, and it seems silly because we're talking about groceries, right? It's competes right there with washing your clothes and mopping the floor. And it's not something that people get excited about, except I love this stuff. I'm a nerd for it.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that there's so many things you can do online, right? If you wanted to order your groceries, you could. And you have come up with some, I mean, the way you're driving this business now compels mm-hmm. people to come in to, like you said, make it an event.
Right.
It's a destination. And it's something you can go, like, you know, I could see myself, if I lived in St. Charles, going every day. Like, you know what? I got to stop by and get their in-house
And you're
brats.
Not going to get this mm-hmm. jerky off of, like, the giant chain store
no.
online.
No way.
You said the giggle line, and I thought in my head, well, that's a good sales line. And then I ate that jerky and literally went,
like, so good.
That was the best sales pitch. Instantly, you were right.
Right. I don't know how else to describe it. You're like, this is dumb good. I don't know what else to say.
It is dumb good. And Dakota, who has been over here plating everything up, helping out Esmeralda and Rob Martyr, because they came down. I'm so glad you did, Esmeralda. This is the kind of food that you're excited to share with people, mm-hmm. so I can see why you're so giddy about it.
Completely. And it's you know, all the good food, but it really is also, and my customers know when they walk in and they see me, I'm like, no way, what are you doing? It's good to see you. Because it's about us. It's about community. When people ask me what kind of store, you're like, I try to think about the way to describe it to people in the industry. You're like, it's a fresh store. But really, in my mind, it's a community store. I want people to know me, know what I'm about, and say, I love that guy. He always takes care of me. And that, like, literally, like, when you want to get serious and about discipline, there's no way that I will let anybody be disappointed, feel like they're not taken care of, or have any opportunity to be confused whether I'm doing everything that I can to make my little piece of their life amazing, better than they could imagine. And it's just grocery shopping.
Dakota, what's he like? Is he this passionate all the time?
It really is actually crazy. He totally is. And it's very inspiring in that way. And if you think about it, like, you don't ever buy anything that's more important than food, right? Oh. And buy clothes for your kids. Okay, that's great. But, like,
you can buy those secondhand. I ain't buying anything secondhand. Yeah. Grocery
right,
store.
Right.
This people is do literally, all the time, though. I mean, it's not the same.
No.
Blue Goose is actually the center of the town, and that's what a grocery should be. Like, where everyone comes all the time to get the stuff that they need to actually live.
I love this. I need to take a break so I can eat some more. We also have you guys hang out in the studio and you join our conversation. We're gonna talk to Michael Heron, who wants to talk about pot, which, you know, kind of goes really well with how much food I'm eating. And they're not related, I swear. We've been hanging out with Paul Lencioni, who owns the Blue Goose Market up in St. Charles. What's the address there?
It's 300 South 2nd Street, two blocks south of Route 64, right there, just a block off the river in St. Charles.
And your website?
www.bluegoosemarket.com, Facebook, Blue Goose Market, all of it, Blue Goose Bakery. You know, just come and check us out.
It's a bakery. Okay.
Oh, dude.
After the pot. More after this on Tony WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me in studio is Brandon C. Price, who is the CEO and mastermind behind Vamp, a music, comedy, and drinking show. Do people get high at the show, do you think? I'm guessing they might get high a little at the show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have a full band, so...
what are you implying? Are you implying that? We have a line with us, Michael Heron. Michael, am I saying your last name correctly? Hey, Michael?
Exactly. Good afternoon, or good evening, rather. Pat.
Oh, hey, you know what? We're having dinner, so I don't know what time it is anymore. You go with good afternoon. I'll take that. Where are you? Where are you in California right now?
I am. I'm calling you in from the left coast right now. It's only about 9:50 our time out here.
So I have on my sheet right now, could the marijuana industry be bigger than the NFL by 2020? I kind of feel like it's already bigger than that in California alone, isn't it?
Agreed. If you look at some of the numbers alone, just what, you know, for instance, ArcView reported last year in 2016, they projected the business right there and then to be roughly a little over $53 billion. Unfortunately, maybe only $7 billion of that being legal. But, you know, in our estimates, having spent the last 3.5 years up and down throughout the state of California and getting to know the growers, we estimate those numbers, again, in California to maybe perhaps be alone somewhere between 50 to as much as $75 billion right now in that marketplace.
Well, one of the things that you talk about is that this business, in order for it to survive and have a legalized federal status, is that you have to fight that negative media attention. How do you do that? How do you do that in order for it to, for one, for people to benefit from it? You know, I think that in my opinion, it's less dangerous in many ways than alcoholism.
It's
drinking
in
a lot
no
of alcohol.
Way dangerous, like it's alcohol. Like one of those things is a poison.
I know, but we act as though like it's not a big deal.
Right. I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, everybody's going to have their opinion on it. But if you look at most polls, it's almost like 6 or 7 out of 10 Americans have either used cannabis in some form or currently using cannabis. But what we've really seen kind of come full circle over recent years is truly the medical benefits of it. More and more research is coming out about how it has been successful in some treatments of cancer and obviously for addressing the opiate crisis that we have in America. You know, it's like anything else. When we entered into the marketplace, we were wearing suits and ties with 25 to 30-year-plus Wall Street careers. And when we met with the growers, they thought we were either the marijuana mafia or the FBI. You know, when we also, though, walked in to meet with lawmakers, those suits and ties came in handy. So I think really what it takes is a lot of education out there, a lot more research, a lot of talking about it. But you know, it just makes a logical sense that that's the way that we're moving. And I think, you know, most importantly, you need to put together a responsible policy. And clearly, when it comes to, you know, our platform and our capabilities, being able to provide that type of transparent, legal, compliant electronic marketplace that makes things much easier for lawmakers, regulators, and law enforcement to be able to bring in, you know, regulatory oversight that addresses public health and safety and other types of concerns.
Well, right now with the change in administration, because President Obama basically said he wasn't going to go after marijuana, and President Trump has not made those sort of comments. Has anything changed with the new administration?
You know, I think, well, certainly, obviously, the tempo has changed. You know, we can all read the stories about, more importantly, maybe our attorney general taking a hardened stance. But I think the overwhelming thing that you're hearing from all lawmakers, not just from this administration, but even in today with the actual governor from, Vermont, Philip Scott, who decided to veto the recreational marijuana bill. It's not that they're all completely opposed to it. They're saying, come back and give us something that's responsible. Let's address how it affects minors, what type of oversight we're going to have there. What can we be doing to make sure that the product itself doesn't fall into the wrong hands, whether that's our children or falling across the state line. It comes down to a state putting together a responsible program, and maybe that program isn't allowing people to come into their state on a daily basis and buy a pound for a week and then take off and head from New England down to New York and force the hand of all the other states to say, wait a second, I don't even have enough money in my coffers to hire law enforcement to enforce this against. So, oh my God, hold a gun to my head, and I guess we're going to have recreational pot in my state just so that I can pay law enforcement. Kind of comes crazy. So, you know, we come from that background of treating the product as if it was an agricultural commodity. And if you apply some of the things that are done by the Chicago, you know, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, and right there in your own backyard at the, you know, at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, and treat it as such, you know, we believe we provide, you know, a true transparent platform that allows for a lawmaker, it allows for Jeff Sessions or a governor or law enforcement to be able to audit the entire industry in real time with a simple push of the button. So we believe through educating the public and letting them know that those types of solutions are out there, including even a closed-loop system to actually resolve the banking issues out there and prevent the continuance of pallet cash building up and money laundering, to take away that type of black market criminal element and allow the true registered participant to go into the marketplace and be treated like a regular business person. You know, be able to pay payroll without cash, pay a vendor, be able to get health insurance for their workers, have a retirement plan, and even perhaps sell their company someday. These are the things that a lot of these participants, hardworking Americans that are heavily involved in this industry, just simply want to see. And we believe, you know, eventually the marketplace will unfold that way. It just takes some time.
Michael, before we let you go, how can people educate themselves as we move forward toward legalizing marijuana in different variations, whether it's medical marijuana, recreational marijuana? In the state of Illinois, we're still fighting to expand the situations in which people can use it for medical purposes. Where can people learn more?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, certainly Google as a search engine is outstanding, but some of the places that I work,
that's how I learn everything.
I point people to. Absolutely. First off, our website is always a great resource of content at amercanics.com. But I would also point our listeners over to Normal. NORML.org is a great resource. Marijuana Business Daily. The National Cannabis Industry Association, NCIA.org, is also a wonderful resource as well as Drug Policy Alliance. There's a lot of good content throughout there, and clearly every day there's more news coming out to the marketplace, and I think it's just as long as we continue to put it in a positive light as opposed to showing it, you know, in the past as kind of negative light, I think you're going to get a much more favorable opinion across the board of all age groups throughout the country.
Well, thank you so much, Michael, for sharing your information. Again, we've been talking to Michael Herron. We have to run now. Have a great evening, sir. We'll look forward to checking in with you again. More after this on 720 WGN. Man, I am so happy to be back from Springfield. I was just asking everybody in the studio, I'm like, did the Cubs win? That's how out of it I am. I've been living and breathing everything politics in Springfield. Oh, and a listener texted in about my conversation earlier with Representative Anderson. They were confused. The 630 was confused about property tax freezes. And with all the time I've been spending in Springfield, yes, the governor has is pushing for a property tax freeze, which means maintaining the property taxes where they are right now. There is a move in the House by several Democrats to actually lower your property taxes because the reason that they are so high is because there is a lopsided distribution of how education is funded in the state of Illinois, and we are actually the worst funded state for education, amongst the worst, and they're trying to figure out a way where we can stabilize that and not rely so heavily on your property taxes so we can lower those. So some of the Democrats are working on that. It's doubtful they will be able to accomplish that. But, you know, on to other things.
Just a confusing situation. Understandable.
It's a very confusing situation. Joining that's Brandon C. Price, who is the CEO and mastermind behind Vamp, the music, comedy, and drinking show. Yes, Brandon?
You got to download the app.
Download the app.
It's official. It's hit the world. App Vamp Comedy. Download it. You win. You actually, once you sign up for the loyalty program, you get a free ticket. So you could just sign up and go get a free ticket. Everything starts rolling out in June, but you can download the app now. You can see who's playing.
I love that. I'm gonna do it right now. I'm gonna download the Vamp app and I'm gonna see what it is because then I want to have a pretty late app. I think we need a pretty late app. I'm not sure what that has. Probably grapefruit from Blue Goose Market. I'm guessing.
An app,
love
you
it.
You can sign up for the app. You get a brat. Is that a good program? Do you think that?
Sure. Yes.
I'll drive it to your house.
Wow. There we go.
That's intense.
22
I'm
hours.
I'm holding out for the steak sandwich.
It's all such good stuff.
Well,
and also,
if you go to two shows, you get the steak sandwich.
It's like a rewards program.
You gotta have a brat rewards. All the brats. And if you're a vegetarian, there's other kinds of options. There's also banana chocolate chips. What am I eating?
Chocolate covered bananas.
Okay.
Chips. Dried.
Chips.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just they're delicious. I don't know what else to say.
You're right. I'm going to eat that whole thing.
They smell great. They smell better than they taste. And they're amazing.
We're all going stair climbing after the show, Brandon. Ready for stair climbing? We're all going stair climbing.
I'm
going
to climb all the stairs it takes
Let's
to get to
my car. Let's pretend that they're not bad for you.
They're not bad
because
for you.
There's more chocolate covered banana chips in your car.
Plus, there will be.
Plus, there's now bread pudding in the studio. There's Brody Stevens and Jeff Gorski in the studio.
Yes, enjoy it.
Hello. Thank you so much, you guys, for joining us. I have Brody's resume and bio in front of me. I don't have Jeff's, and I apologize for that.
It's pretty thin.
But I've never been given a resume and bio which included a guest's high school GPA and his record for strikeouts during a pitching season.
Yeah,
in
high
school. Here.
In college, Arizona, it's probably, if it says 17 strikeouts. Oh. In a game? Nice.
Yeah, Arizona State. JV, fall.
Serious.
And then also played Division I baseball, college baseball for the Sun Devils.
Yeah, I went to Arizona State and was there from, played baseball, fall of 88 to spring of 93. I was on the team. I only played 23 innings. I hurt my elbow, bad pitching mechanics. But they kept me around. When I was done playing, the coach, Brock, he...
Why'd you pitch so many innings?
That's not that many innings.
I'm just saying.
23 in 5 years?
It seems like maybe you overdid it over that period of time.
I spread it out.
I mean, maybe it was too much rest in between.
You know what? I got too eager. I overdo it. I still do. And I don't lift weights for a while. I jump right back into it. I pull a hamstring. But I played baseball, Arizona State. That's in my bio. And I love baseball. And I was at the game tonight, Wrigley Field. And I didn't bring Jeff here. I brought
Bleacher Jeff right. here. There you go. Bleacher Jeff. This guy is called
Bleacher Jeff.
That's his name. Yeah. He's known as Bleacher
on
Jeff.
Twitter.
You didn't put that on. You said I'm Jeff. You didn't say I'm Bleacher Jeff.
Well, that's you some, can't just lead with that. That's
yes, hard. You can.
Yes, you should.
Right. You should. Right. I've been telling him that.
I don't right. understand how you don't say I'm no, Bleacher
I
Jeff.
The game. I
you're in Chicago. How do we not get that? I mean, you know, you're the descendant of the Bleacher Bums.
Right. Right? Next generation.
Ronnie Woo Woo was kicked out.
He was. Yeah, Ronnie got thrown out.
Wow. Yeah, they, I mean,
that was disturbing.
They've been letting him in for years anyway. That's I don't know era. Why he gets kicked out now.
Because of Ricketts.
Yeah.
Ricketts did it?
I don't know.
Ooh.
I don't know.
I think it was an overzealous security guard probably.
Oh man, did you see that tonight?
No.
What happened?
I think this was the Braves game. This, you know, fan interference, but this guy ran up, the fan interfered, gave the ball to his son, presumably a young child with him.
Right.
And then the security guard leaps over the wall, like grabs the guy, starts pulling him up the stairs, and
wow.
then takes the ball away from what? The kid.
No.
Yes, totally.
Did this happen tonight?
Oh yeah, it's gotta be on highlights.
Oh, I'm gonna find it's gotta be trending on LinkedIn.
It's the Braves. Yeah. It's Braves Pittsburgh.
Find this right now. Braves Pittsburgh.
Yeah, because Braves blew
it happened in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Oh, they're out of control down there.
It's been a
why are they harshing so much on the kid?
They were in the United Airlines seats.
They got the
nice.
Good one.
Nice.
Solid.
Wow, everyone's a comedian, Brody.
I love it. Chicago's a funny town. The guys, the grocery store guys, I love it.
Blue Goose Market up over by Dare.
Blue Goose.
Over by Dare.
Over by Dare.
Where we have great food and we're hilarious.
Hilarious.
And I love the banana chocolate chips. They are delicious. Yeah. I'm a cashew guy.
Yeah.
And the cashews there hit the spot.
Your cashew. I've never heard of.
I love nuts.
Rosemary cashews, absolutely.
Cashews are very healthy for you.
They're excellent for you. Yes. I mean, I'm not negating that. I'm not challenging you on
that. Like you do comedy, like between shows or on the way to a gig, you'll have some almonds.
I'm hankering for an almond, maybe a walnut, a pecan. What have you?
Not a pecan, but you mix them up.
Yeah.
You
put a raisin in there, and chocolate chip. You put a chocolate chip in the mix.
What about a banana? You could probably make some sort of crazy trail mix with this table here.
You got beef jerky,
don't cashews.
You do radio, I'll do food.
You know what else would be good in your store?
Do you have shopping carts?
That's awesome.
Can we get that weed guy back on?
Let me ask, do you charge for shopping bags?
No.
Not yet.
That's what makes you different. That should be your slogo.
Do you know what would be sad?
That should be your slogan.
Actually made me different.
Yeah. We give at you bags. We force our bags on you.
That's not good.
Sir, you don't look like you have enough bags.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, here's your slogan.
There's
your slogan.
There you go.
That's love like that.
Next generation.
From absolutely.
Slogan.
Right into the mic, Jeff. Right into the mic. Bleacher Jeff. He's caught
Chicago
five.
Cubs insider Brody.
He's caught five home run balls.
Career.
He caught. My birthday was on May 22nd the
Happy
other
birthday.
Day. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I got a free Happy sandwich birthday. At Jersey Mike's.
As you should.
Yeah. There you
I mean,
go.
Was it really free or did someone just give it to you? And be like, just please. Take
no,
the
they gave it. To, I'm a points member. If you're a points member. You get a birthday sandwich.
I am so bad at following through on any points programs. Like I have like eight stamps on a 30-stamp card. I just don't, follow through. I'm collecting all these cards.
You should do it on an app. Some sort of loyalty program on an app.
I don't do punch cards. That's my mom does that with the yogurt. That's her thing. I like that you just punch in. And people give out their phone number now. It doesn't matter. You know, you don't want to give out your email. You have everyone has the fake emails or whatever. But the phone number, I don't care. Then I went to, you get a free drink at Starbucks, but I go there a lot,
right.
And I kind of didn't want them knowing my business. Like, it's my birthday, here's a free drink. I kind of didn't want that, so I kept it quiet.
It unravels from there. They know it's your birthday. First, they have your name right on your cup.
Yeah, they know my name.
Oh, right. I like when they know me. I feel like I've earned something. When, like, that first time you go back in, it's like, Brandon, the quad? I'm like, yes.
But what about if they know it's your birthday? They go, Brandon, I was checking out your Starbucks app. And really? You got in? Yeah. You don't have it. You don't have a firewall.
You know, I'm not up to anything that I'm like, as long as before my huge secrets break, my parents are gone, you know, then I'm fine. I don't think if they want to know my birthday to give me free stuff. Right.
Let me ask a question. You said once your parents are gone, you'll let your secrets out.
Yeah, I think the majority of
it's supposed
those
to be when
are...
your parents are gone, you let their secrets out. What do you?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm kidding. Oh, that's my family.
I don't have
I'm Mexican.
We were
that's how
very
we do it.
Compartmentalized, I guess. I feel like that's true. I mean, I'm not going to get on like a podium and be like, "All right, they're gone. I got news for you, people." You know, but I feel like
no, there's
of
some
my stuff I keep. under wraps because of familial
yeah
obligations,
GOP respect.
No, I mean, I just, yeah, there's things I think about, like, I wouldn't want my mom to deal with. Not that it's a big deal. I just, and plus, right. I'm a public figure. I'm on Twitter. So
yeah, well, everything's out in the open. And now you're on WGN Radio. Let me take a quick break here. More after this on 720 with all my guests in the studio. Blue Goose Market, Brody Seasons. He's a slogo.
Callback.
Jeff Gorski, Brandon. What's your name again? Brandon C. Price. Download the app. You need a Brandon C. Price app. But for now, it's the Vamp app.
I'm on that app.
The Vamp app.
We'll share the app.
More after this.
Trust me, kids. You do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining us are the fine folks from Blue Goose Mart. Are you keep turning your, who keeps turning their microphone on? Is that
That's
you?
Me.
Why do you keep turning your microphone? Yeah, you're know. Like, I should be on right now. I love that about you, Dakota. You're like, my mic is on now. I've decided I'm hitting
it. Here I am. Here I am.
It's on. Would you also hit the cough button? Just cough. Let me see if it works. Can you cough and then hit the button? Oh, excellent.
You have to hold it down. There you go.
It did work.
He just blew up the microphone.
Yeah, I just blew up the whole... One time I almost broke the whole station. So you're doing very well. No worries about that. That's Dakota and Paul Lencioni. Lencioni? Is that all right? Okay.
I'm eating bacon jerky.
Beef jerky and cashews together.
Bacon jerky from Hawaii. It's delicious.
It's the bacon jerky.
Cashew-covered.
Cashew relish.
Beef jerky.
It's all good stuff.
Bacon jerky.
That is a voice of Brody Stevens.
Loserville.
And
classic.
And Bleacher Jeff. That's Jeff Gorski in the studio with us.
Nice to be here.
Where are the loser? Where's the loser bench?
That was from the Hangover. They played my scene.
Oh.
That was my, Michael put it in there. I go.
Oh, that's okay. Yes, I remember.
Yeah, that's my scene. I go, after we take their mugshots from the Hangover, where I walk in with the kids, after we take their mugshots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officers. Trust me, kids, you don't want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville. I know my line better now. Thank you. It doesn't always get a laugh.
How many takes? How many takes?
12, I think.
That's not bad. I mean, because they do it from different angles. That's,
yeah.
Yeah, right?
I was nailing my line. I didn't have it down like I do now, five years later, mm-hmm. 6 years mm-hmm. later. But
do you do it in your sleep sometimes? You like scream and like, now I got it.
I do it on stage pretty much every night. I give the kids a show.
Okay.
I'll actually have them be in the scene with me. I'll act out the scene and recreate it. But,
that's fun.
How many comedians talk about a movie they were in? That's what, and I just think it's kind of cool because when I was an audience member, I remember I heard Chris Rock do a line from a movie. I go, that's cool. And then I got in a movie. I go, I can do that now.
Yes, you can.
So, but I do it and they like it. But the Hangover now, I don't get recognized. These guys don't recognize me from being in the Hangover. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm a good actor. That's why.
You blend in, right?
You got
that's the
it.
Point. You, right? You consume. You are in, you're consumed by the role.
I just didn't want to make you feel
yourself.
Awkward.
Yes, that's true.
Didn't want to be
I never get awkward. I take medication. Keeps me from being awkward.
That would help for everybody. It's just, or as we mentioned earlier, a little bit of marijuana.
You know, it's very popular out in Los Angeles, California, where I am. It's popular in Colorado. It's popular, I guess, on the West Coast.
Yes. We're having a tough time here. We're struggling with it.
It's still pretty popular here.
Yeah, pretty popular.
Yeah, I've heard.
Well,
I've
popular
heard
popular in a different way, because it's a little bit, it's on the DL.
I got it. One of my questions for him was pricing. I mean, obviously, you talk about revenue, you talk about money coming in, you talk about being able to tax and legalize it, taking away the crime element. All those things are great. But until you can guarantee me product for a price that's cheaper than what I can get it for now.
Or grow it yourself.
Yeah, you're not going to, I just don't think you're going to eliminate that threat. I also think if you get in trouble, you're driving a semi or something, and then you get in a wreck and they drug
test
you.
Let's not single out the semi drivers. They have it hard enough. There's a whole article I'm just saying. Let's not throw them under the tire wheels.
I'm just saying if you're operating heavy machinery or doing a job that requires focus and work and you mess up, generally they drug test you. With weed, you could have, smoked 2 weeks ago on a weekend that was like in no way impairing your ability to do your job. However, that problem is scientifically you can't separate that. You can't test if someone's doing it right now or did it 20 days ago.
Right, there's no way to quantify that.
Right.
Typical Brandon. Just harsh in the mellow.
That's a problem. You know, when they start doing that, here's my deal. I like that it was legal, so not that I do it much, but just the pressure's off. You don't have to worry. You know, I don't think people are going to smoke more. Now you don't have to worry about a police officer coming down on you. You know, you can relax.
It's weird. It's weird to see the next generation that do exactly that relax and don't freak out every time and have that, like, reaction. I mean, you'd sit around and, like, you know, the 80s and 90s were thinking, like, it would never be this way. It would never be so legal, so open, talked about. I don't know.
I mean, you could smoke pot in L.A. and not worry about police bothering you. You don't want to, like, do it right.
Wrigleyville, I feel like you can just sit on Clark and do it. Having worked and lived.
Yeah, that's.
You have a friend.
I've seen it quite a few times.
I just feel the Midwest and some cities, like even Arizona, it's legal medically there. But, and I'm not some big pro pot activist. I'm just saying when it becomes legal, you can relax. Yeah. And then I do feel that, I mean, I didn't start smoking. I mean, yeah, I'll admit it. I've done it until I was 30. I played baseball and I just never did it. And I did get drug tested. Then I moved out to LA, I just didn't want to drink and drive.
Yeah.
You could smoke pot, enjoy, and then drive and not be hungover the next day. And being drunk never helped my comedy. Being high, you can write stuff. Sometimes some people can perform high or not, but it just makes things more fun.
Better, for sure. I have to say, performance.
I was always surprised when I would find out. There was a friend of mine who did this night show twice, Mike Lucas, and when he told me, they called him, they had to bump him one night, and so the next day he wasn't expecting it. They called and they said tonight, and he was already high, and I'm like, you did that high.
And he did that show called The Straight Dope.
Yes.
So it's kind of funny. Exactly. Mike Lucas, I remember him.
I don't
good
know
guy.
If I was supposed to tell that story. More after this on 720 WGN. Check with the legal team. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Brandon C. Price, who is witnessing two firsts in the history of the show. Two firsts.
Go on.
Well, one, you know. I think we just watched and you were like, I've never seen her give swag bags to anybody.
Oh, yeah. I'm right? Like swagless.
I know. I have to get Jewish. I have shirts. I have shirts and coffee mugs from other guests. So I was cleaning out my, this is the dorkiest thing. I don't know what it is, but I was cleaning out my basement. I found these shirts and then our friend, Steve Burness from the Better Business Bureau gave me a ton of stuff, markers and pens and band-aids and
Steve's
all kinds
like
of things.
That.
Yes, he is. And I was like, you know, these guys are having so much fun. I want to give them a bag of goodies to take with them. So this is the first night we've ever, probably the last night, because I think I've given everything away. I'll get you
tonight
something.
Tonight was a special night. I feel like everyone's walking away with this memory.
I think so. I think you're right about that. Property freeze tax or not.
Stoned or not.
Property tax freeze.
I got a bumper sticker. And Big League Chew.
Oh, that's right.
Am I not supposed to say that? Was that a secret gift?
The Big League Chew is kind of on the DL.
Michael, did you lure him to the show with a bag of Big Chew?
You know, it was on my mind. I know he's a big baseball fan, so I thought it would be very fitting. I know he loves WGN, so the bumper sticker just went hand in hand.
Well, and then that's part two of the second thing that's never happened on the show. We have been we've been batting this idea around because Michael will tweet at celebrities, right? And so we wanted to start the segment called, tweet fishing?
Fish. Yeah.
Whatever. We haven't decided.
It's a rough draft.
It's a rough draft. So we've never really done it on the air. Mm-hmm. So Michael decided to do it during the day when I wasn't around and started fishing. And that's how we ended up with Brody Stevens in studio.
Yes, I bit.
He just went like this and he reeled him in. I don't know which way I'm going
tweet
with
bait.
This.
Correct bait.
I love WGN. I listen to it on the app. Am I allowed to say iHeartRadio?
iHeartRadio. Mm-hmm. We love that. Mm-hmm. Please listen to us on iHeartRadio.
And I listen because it's real talk. It's just regular people. Not knocking local Los Angeles radio, but you listen.
Knock it. Go ahead. Knock it. Yeah.
You listen to this and it's just more. It's first of all, it's live around the clock. It's not syndicated it might be syndicated. We might be.
Nope, I'm not. But you can hear us in 38 states in Canada right now terrestrially. And yeah, I think also Mexico, but online all over the world.
Yeah. That's WGN. Right. I just, when I hear it, when it call, it's like the bat light. When I see it, I show up.
Bat light.
is that what it is? The bat light?
The bat signal.
Bat signal.
There you go. There's a light out in the bat light. I don't know what to do.
What's that light? It looks like a bat. I'm going. I'm so glad.
Bird flashlight?
I'm so glad it worked out.
I mean, I walk by. I'm staying right up the street, but I always walk by. I look in the afternoon. I kind of have sad eyes. I'll look in, and I want them to go, oh, you want to, whoever was working in the afternoon. It's kind of like looking
and
at
it. And do they bring you in?
No, because it's bulletproof glass. It's
and apparently Brody proof.
Yeah, Brody proof, and I'm taking photos with the Abe Lincoln. Is that Brandon Tartikoff with him?
Who's we're not sure if it's like we're not really sure who that is.
Wait, you really don't know?
I really don't know who
it's
that is.
Alan
Do you know?
Thicke.
No,
no way.
I thought it was like Dick Cavett or somebody. I don't know who that is.
Wait, we really don't. No one knows.
No one knows who that is. No.
I just was walking around thinking I'm from the South. I'm not from here. It must be some sort of Chicago thing that everybody's real cool into.
Well, you don't know who the guy is,
Jeff? Abraham Lincoln.
Bleacher Jeff.
Oh, so okay. No, I see Abraham. Now that you say it, I do see Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, that 50,
I'm just 50, curious. Why did he need to be wearing corduroys? I mean, it just stuck in my mind. It's like.
But the sweater vest is okay with you.
But I mean, corduroys is just is it not a step too far?
Are you talking about the guy with Abe?
He's got corduroys on.
Abe has corduroys?
No, the guy has corduroys.
Alan Thicke
does. He's got
and he's got Reebok shoes. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, who is this guy?
Is there a listener that knows? Does anyone in the world
know?
Well,
you can wear Reeboks in the summer, but you can't wear corduroys in the summer. I mean, this is...
I just feel it's Brandon Tartikoff. I don't know. Is he from Chicago?
Just too far.
You know, the NBC building's here. I think somebody should research that.
Then what's Lincoln's connection with
Illinois?
With NBC? No, with NBC Studios. I'm just saying if that's...
He cannot...
Nothing. They just added him. They added Tartikoff. Threw him in there. Because he turned around NBC. I mean, he made, Seinfeld, Family Ties, all the... I don't know if he did Seinfeld, but I don't know. I saw this guy. He looks like Tartikoff.
You know, he looks like General
Tartikoff.
I'm going to start naming things that he did, but none of them are actually true. You should run for president.
Michael could, I bet you he knows who that guy is out there.
Well, Michael, can you Google Abraham Lincoln statue on Michigan Avenue and who's he with?
I just did, and it's, in fact, Brandon Tartikoff.
Oh! Nailed it.
Is that true?
Surprisingly, he does look a lot like the statue if you haven't seen him yet.
You made everybody excited, and then you ripped out the carpet for
him. Wait, it's not Brandon Tartikoff?
No.
Brandon Tartikoff is, he was born in New York, and he lives in Los Angeles, so I don't know what the connection to Chicago would be.
He's been passed away for a long time.
Also that.
Are you
also
looking for the right Tartikoff?
I'm Googling it right now.
How do you spell Tartikoff?
The guy that did the statue is the same guy that did the Marilyn Monroe statue.
Yeah. There.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
And did you find out who he's with?
You know, it's a very long article and doesn't really seem to want to tell me.
That's Marilyn's brother.
Esmeralda.
Marilyn's brother.
Can you tell me what's happening?
Kevin.
Somebody's got to know who that guy is.
It's Walter modern Lincoln. Man.
It's modern man?
Modern man does not wear corduroy.
Modern 1993 man, I'm assuming.
I was going to say, corduroys at this point are very ironic. They might even be double ironic, possibly.
I like corduroys.
Yeah, I'm a corduroy wearer.
Yeah, but it's a thick
double
corduroy.
Double ironic corduroy.
You got it.
As a saying, it's a thick corduroy, which would make it.
Yes. No, right. 100%.
He's discussing the Gettysburg Address with contemporary man.
Oh, that's boring.
He's saying, like, what
that's
do you
it?
Think?
I thought he was giving him directions.
Contemporary 1990s
no, he's
dad.
I thought he was saying...
They're going over a draft.
I thought he was saying that they're building the Apple store right here to my left.
Yeah. Does it say what modern...
If you hit Wabash, you've gone too far.
There's a Chick-fil-A down the street. There is on the other... It's pretty good. I go there on Sundays. I have the key. They let me in. I'm allowed. I knock. I like waffle fries.
Well, and then he goes to the Hobby Lobby right afterwards. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Brandon C. Price, the CEO and mastermind behind Vamp, the music, comedy, and drinking show every Friday and Saturday night, 10:30 at MCL Chicago over by Dare on Sheffield near Belmont, not too far from the Vic Theater.
Right across the street there.
You can download the Vamp app.
Vamp Comedy.
And become a frequent flyer, enjoyer.
Get a free ticket just by signing up when you download. Well, it's that easy.
There you go. And soon there will be an app for the Blue Goose Market. Is that correct? Yes?
Yes. Well, I had to check the buttons. I'm not a pro. I sell less.
I'll turn you on. Don't worry.
No, it's 100%. We have our e-commerce app with amazing stuff coming later this summer.
I love that. The Blue Goose Market is up in St. Charles, and we've enjoyed so many great... my God, it does look like a picnic that's gone sideways in my studio now.
It looks like we had a picnic like 6 hours ago before like the late night bender.
And there's donuts. We haven't even gotten to the donuts. There's a bag of donuts.
There's donuts?
There's bread pudding.
There's amazing donuts.
Who said donuts?
I will take the donuts and have them in the morning.
Excellent.
Right? It's a morning.
Do you not have
eat them now? No, yeah. Donuts are not just for breakfast. And okay. I do actually. I'm at the end of what one of the things out of respect and love for Ryan Crisp, the brewer of Alesmith Speedway Stout, one of the best beers in America. I love it to death. The end of this, Ryan, Matt Dakin, I love you guys.
Paul's getting emotional.
I know. He loves the mustard. He loves the stout.
I gave him my baseball card.
He's in love with your card?
Absolutely. You guys, you should see this. Brody has a no-joke Topps baseball card that I have here that I just got signed, and I'm saving it forever. I love it.
Because, you know, Paul brings a lot of positive energy, and he works in the grocery business. I, too, worked in the grocery business.
Did you really?
Yeah, I worked at Gelson's, a supermarket. I was a bagger. I did carts.
Mm-hmm. Number one first job in America. People start their first job is in a grocery store than anything else.
Mine was, I think it was my fifth. I was at the Happy Foods in Edison Park. I was a terrible bagger. I was also
like
a cashier.
Place,
but it was before they had Happy scanners, Foods? So I had to know the prices of everything. And there were women who would like go through the flyers and knew all the prices of everything. There's different taxes
folks
for
out
food.
There, it's not
different.
As easy as
Do you accept coupons?
Sure.
Checks? I use checks, coupons,
welfare stamps,
food? I've got food.
SNAP card.
I have EBT. Something out, Brody. I have a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Do you put out bread at the end of the night for people? I'll pick it up.
Day-old bread? Is that
what
you're saying?
I feel like we've started negotiations here. This has gone in a different direction.
I'd like to bring these guys out to California.
Oh, I think you should do that. It's time to franchise. Or at least just have a second store in California.
Does your store need entertainment?
What?
We could put entertainment in your store.
Oh, you want some live music? Some improv music?
Yeah. Yes.
The people are clamoring for made-up music.
You need a vamp night.
No, I one of my favorite things about owning a supermarket, because when you think about this, most people, you're like, oh, it's a supermarket. It's not something you think about. But I own a supermarket. And when people say, well, can you do that? You're like, we can do whatever we want. I was like, I'm in charge. I'm like your buddy. You're like, oh, this guy's great. He's my buddy. You're like, yeah, but I own a supermarket. If it sounds like fun, we can do it.
I see Vamp performing in front of like one of the end caps, like in front of the cereal.
Oh, I want a four-pallet space. Yeah. I want a four-pallet space at least.
No, okay. I've got my cell phone. Should we schedule now, or I mean, how are we going to do this?
On our meeting. I love Michael. This is how we do business.
Yeah, this is. This is just like a good love affair between all of our guests, which I really enjoy.
Now performing by the bacon jerky. We have.
Every 15 minutes, we'll be giving out a sample, and we need a suggestion of a location that would fit on the stage.
Are they trying to come after you? Are you like the other brands? Oh. I don't want to mention names.
Trader Joe's,
Whole Foods.
You're giving my industry way too much credit.
Oh. They are good. They're not good.
No, they're good, but like we're in St. Charles, Illinois. They're
now how far
not
is
paying attention?
How far is where's St. Charles?
An
from
hour
here?
From here, no matter which way you go, no matter how much traffic.
30
there
miles
is
straight down North Avenue 64. You go or and you go some more, and then right when you think you're done going,
you
go
keep
just
going
a little bit farther, and then it's St. Charles is this amazing town. It's absolutely phenomenal. There's cool stuff out there, but it is the last stop before
Iowa.
Denver?
Denver?
Oh, wow. We did miss Iowa.
I'll be in Iowa, by the way, Friday night, Rapids.
Is it Penguins?
Unless you blink, and then you'll be in Nebraska.
No, you do.
Oh, Penguins.
Penguins. Which one is it? Which club is it?
It's actually a festival.
What festival are you doing?
It's called the Turnbuckle Festival. It's a new one. They have Nick Thune, comedian.
Oh, nice.
Kyle Kinane, comedian. Harmar, superstar, who is a comedic singer.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And but it's a new festival, and I'm going out there, Cedar Rapids. I'm driving. So would I go to Denver first and then come back?
Take a left.
If you're not careful, you'll be like, there's the mountains. I missed it.
Are there rapids in Cedar?
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
I can't remember the difference between.
There's no crystals in Crystal Lake.
Tis flat, sir.
For a listener who is, I know we have people in Iowa. I can't remember which one is Cedar Falls and which one is Cedar Rapids.
Oh.
The Fighting Sullivans were from one of them. You know what? I can give away a gift if someone can tell me which town the Fighting Sullivans were from. Was it Cedar Rapids or Cedar Falls? There's a whole venue dedicated to them.
Hmm. Where did Buddy Holly die?
In Clear Lake, Iowa.
Clear Lake, Iowa.
Crystal. I've also played there.
With Richie Valens
and
La Bamba.
Yes.
And the Big Bopper.
Mm-hmm. Have you played the Surf Ballroom? That's such a good venue.
That's in Iowa?
Yeah, that's where that was their last show. Was
oh, really?
Music yes.
I played baseball
there.
In Iowa. I'm not allowed to talk about baseball. I guess we got a tweet saying I should. But I played.
Well, let me ask you this. How old were you when you started playing baseball?
How old was I?
Yes. Were you the regular 5 years old, or was it before?
No, I didn't play. I skipped T-ball. Mm-hmm. I went straight.
Me too.
You did?
Yes, I went right to, ours was called the Farm League, and then we went Midgets and then Pony League.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes.
Because I played baseball. I went right into.
As did I.
We call it International League back then. It was like the 40-foot mounds. Not coach pitch. It was real kids pitching.
We never had coach pitch. When I found out about that, I'm like, what is happening? Why is that dude on the mound?
Yeah, I don't have a, like, no.
We had an extra 2 hours to waste. Oh,
I understand that. Right. But you know what? To take your hit at the plate like everybody else, take your base. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
This is a very important story.
Crack your ribs. Who cares? Let's go.
So I played baseball, Little League, 1978, 79, forget. I was on the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And I was decent. And we had another team. They were the Red Sox. We played against the Red Sox. One of the players on the Red Sox right now, right this very moment, is a coach for the Chicago Cubs. And he's in the dugout.
What?
His name is Michael Barzello, 5 World Series championships. I grew up with him. That's why I'm here in Chicago. I get to come to the games because he invites me down, and we were literally, we grew up together.
That's incredible.
Chicago Cubs insider. Yeah.
You brought up the I wasn't going to bring it up, but it was brought up.
I'm not, the texters direct my show. Are you kidding me? Yeah, no. Yeah, never. Actually, the more they if they keep texting, stop talking about baseball, that's all we'll do for the next hour and 5 minutes.
Well, so. This is WGN. This has baseball history.
It's in our blood. It's in our DNA.
And I've been hanging out with the Cubs. He was with the Yankees for 12 years. We grew up together, Little League, high school, all that stuff, and was with the Yankees for 12 years. I got to hang out with that and be a part of the Joe Torre World Series winning.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went to the Dodgers for 4 years, got to hang out with the Dodgers, 2 championships, not the World Series. Then he came to the Cubs. I got to be here at the Cubs, and I got to go to the World Series. I got to be in the parade. I coached first base in spring training last year.
That happened. Oh, that happened.
Man, that's cool.
There's photos.
I suited up for 3 games.
Full uniform.
Full uniform, and I caught 3 first pitches. They said, from the hangover, Brody Stevens. My stage name.
That's how excited you were. You're like, I don't even know. Call me whatever.
Yeah, but in Mesa at Sloan Stadium there, I caught the first pitches with Clark the Cub. And then I asked Joe Madden. I said, Joe, can I hang out? And he says, yeah, do whatever you want. So I sat in the dugout for the game. Like, Arrieta was pitching. Yeah, I'm giving high fives to Hayward. I'm sitting there with Ryan Sandberg and Rick Sutcliffe and Williams.
How is the energy this year? I mean, because it's a whole different world. I mean, the city of Chicago has not experienced this. What are you looking at, Jeff?
This is my first game tonight. It was my first game back. Okay. Jeff has been there all year so far.
I go to most games.
Is it surreal, isn't it? Because how many years have you been going to the Cubs games?
I mean, I've had season tickets for 5 years in the bleachers, and I've been going my whole life. My grandma took me when I was a baby, so I've been in it.
So that first day you walk into the park this year, because I've gone, and it's strange because we've gone with an attitude our entire lives of like, here we go again.
Yeah, all right, let's see
take our chance. But now it's like, what?
When you have that, and I saw it.
No, it's true.
I saw the doubting energy, I'll tell you. Because
doubting energy
it's
of what?
Hard not to have it.
The fans.
This year or
last year?
More.
Oh, yeah.
I went to the World Series.
Well, it's just a state of being. Yeah. It's not. Right.
Here's the deal.
It's not up to us.
You got
to
fight it.
I know.
Though.
You have to fight. You have to push. They have to feed off your energy.
Right.
And with the Yankees, you go to Yankee Stadium versus the Red Sox, it's wild. It's crazy. It's a zoo. Yankees have 28, 29 world championships. They demand it. You are expected to win in New York. You had to. Barzello was there. I was with them.
What about the Red Sox before they won? It was always crazy. It was always a zoo.
They were expected
but
to
they
lose.
Were they were but Boston, coach. They're stressful out there. They're out of control. And they Fenway
it's
Park
a stressful place.
Is negative and they didn't win for years.
Yeah.
So I saw how the Yankees were professional. And then everyone here, it's all happy. But I grew up in the Valley, blue collar upbringing. Pushing it. I'm not like Hollywood softy type. I push. So he came here, and I went to the game, and the Cubs, the World Series, they were down, and the place got sad and like quiet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it game was, 3 and 4.
I was watching on TV, and I have to agree with you on that.
What are you doing?
That's different than coming in game one, the beginning of the season, going, let's see what happens. When you're in the World Series, I agree. I was so mad at the fans who were like, it was dismal out there. Yeah. I agree with you.
But Jeff was there.
I was there.
But
Screaming by your, I would have screamed with you.
Well,
Jeff.
I have a big drum. I play at the left field, like where the video board is, and left there's a big.
He bangs the State Farm sign.
Start banging it. Get as loud as I can. It's a big bass drum sound.
Fortunately, you're
listen
in the All State Showcase
it.
Studio. Yeah, right. They appreciate
we all
the
appreciate
attention.
That. Good
yeah,
work.
So it was good
work.
From all fans.
Well, it's not sponsored this year. That was only last year, so it's blank now. So all maybe right. All State. You know, let's go. Give me.
I just want to put mm-hmm. one little cat, and I know I sound crazy. People think I'm crazy when I say. Energy and being tough, not being baseball's not nice.
No,
you know, nice teams don't win.
True.
Seattle, oh, we're nice. When's the last time the Mariners won anything? They don't win.
Never.
Does Minnesota win? They don't win. They're too nice.
True,
you know,
they're like the Democrats of baseball. I have to run more.
Tough cities win. Chicago's tough. You deserved it last year.
Yes, they did.
Yes,
we did. I don't know which way to put that. We have to take a quick break. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me are our good friends from the Blue Goose Market. Recently, the winner of the best grocery store, one of the best bakeries, one of the best delis, and one of the best meat markets. All those things.
Well, even past that, we were actually nominated as the best independent grocery store in the country.
Whoa!
Whoa.
National
Grocery. Oh, did I not say that? We actually were, we won as the best center store. So we won a category. It's like, you're like, best picture. Best Supporting Actor. We won Best Supporting Actor, but we were nominated Best Independent Grocer in America.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
And really carrying on the family tradition over 85 years. That's
killing
amazing.
It. Killing
That's
it.
Wonderful.
Love it. It's a lot of fun.
I'm pretty sure that Brody Stevens is going to make a special trip out there.
I will. Can you Google document me the address? He's like in the middle of... Where are you, in Canada? I'm kidding.
Bro,
it's a Charles an hour.
I'll send a car for you, Brody.
Oh.
This guy's amazing. I love this guy. Hello. I want to hang out. Yeah, Brody and I are now probably
you
friends for life.
Paul, you'll send me a Lyft car?
100%.
Like with a $10...
voucher?
Credit? Yeah,
yes.
Voucher.
100%.
Just a credit.
It's probably a $40 ride.
You know, when you get later at night on the show, you start missing your words.
You know what? Actually, Brody, now that I think about it, my 16-year-old nephew just started driving. I'm going to send him for you.
Oh, there we go.
You got it. 16 in a car.
He's good. I mean, he's better than he was, so you'll be fine.
Can you imagine when we were younger if we had the opportunity to use Uber and Lyft? I mean,
oh, no.
Right. Or just anything. All of it. Cell phones and
It would. I don't know if it would be a good thing. I think ride sharing's okay. It's better than cabs.
Mm-hmm.
I think navigational systems are good.
Isn't that crazy?
I think that texting's okay, pretty good. I think email's solid. That's about it.
That, everything else?
I mean, I like radio, to listen to WGN,
radio.
Of course.
You kind of feel like you named everything, though.
But I feel, yeah. Then you start going into Facebook. You start going to Twitter. It's now you start losing it. So I feel like there's been some nice leaps in technology, mm-hmm. but where we're going now and next, I don't know.
Well, especially when you think about all the ways, I mean, we don't want to get anything serious.
Yeah, we're keeping it light,
dark.
Light
yeah,
and polite.
Keeping it light and polite. We actually are celebrating tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We are celebrating our Walk of Fame. We're
over by
new
Modern
inductees
Man.
Right here along the wall.
Oh,
right there.
Who's going anybody, is
tomorrow?
It a secret?
Nick D is going to be one of them. Judy Pilak is also, I'm sure that, I don't have the rest of the list. Michael
Kathy and Judy.
Kathy and Judy are already in the Walk of Fame.
Fanboy.
Kathy and Judy are already in the Walk of Fame, as are Stephen Johnny and Roy Leonard, obviously, Wally Phillips. A lot of the names. I'm gonna have Michael print up the entire list.
Yeah, no, we got him right here. Actually,
there you go.
We've got Leonard Baldy, who was a fantastic guy in the 1950s. Lou Boudreau.
Yeah, he was a player, manager of the Cubs.
Oh my God,
that's
yeah.
right.
Got
that's
it.
Right. He realized his childhood dream to be a Cubs radio announcer from 1958 to 1987. Man, what a long time.
Got it.
Nick DiGilio, Lincoln Hampton, Vince Lloyd. Mike Mathis, Ann Maxfield, Judy Pilak, Jack Rosenberg, mm-hmm. Larry
Shalom.
Schreiner, and more.
We already have Milt Rosenberg out there, too, as well. On
Uncle
the,
Milt, and you've got
Uncle Milty.
Uncle Milty.
Tartikoff.
In his sweater vest and corduroys.
It looks
Reebok.
Just like him.
It really does. It really does.
You know, people walk up and down the street. It's Brandon Tartikoff, because no one knows what he looks
like.
It's
the like, most disappointing part of the night is, to, like, Modern Man, you're like, oh, disappointing. Like, I was hoping for something bigger.
Yeah.
It's not.
That's
it's like Suburbs Guy.
And it's been there too long. It is Suburbs
Guy. He, like, wandered in from Naperville.
If you saw that guy.
Right.
Bleacher Jeff, if you saw that guy out in the bleachers, that would be a weird moment.
Yeah, no, he would get there late.
Yeah.
Expect to see it at 7 o'clock in the bleachers.
Yes.
You would not be with it.
No. Naperville, wonderful place, home to the soccer mom
Hall of Fame
museum. Yeah, and Hall of Fame. Absolutely.
That's God bless Naperville. I love Chicago. I love this studio. Do you like it when it's open?
These are my lamps, by the way.
Oh, they are?
Do you want to see what the lights look like if we turn all the lights on? Because these lights are really mean. It's like I could do surgery in here. It's like the light of God.
Sure.
Please shining. Don't.
Oh, yeah. No. Michael, can we...
You're going to put the lights on.
Can you turn all the lights... And just leave them on through the rest of the segment.
No, please. Sure. No.
Yeah.
It's like a club. Lights on. No way.
Right, exactly.
No,
it's like last call.
I thought you were all so much more attractive.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. This really is like last call. When this happens, it's like just the mean, all of them, all the way up. Yeah.
Oh, these are too bright.
Keep going.
Oh,
there
really
it is.
Like
there.
Is this what Roe needs?
But do they TV show out of here anywhere?
1 hour a day, CLTV in the morning does Steve Cochran's show, and then 1 hour in the evening during Roe Khan's show.
Those are TV lights. I picked up on that. I've done a lot of TV. I signed a television development deal with the Al Jazeera Network.
Mm-hmm. How'd that turn out for you?
Well, we produced the first English-speaking sitcom on Telemundo. It didn't get picked up. I'm just doing a bit right now.
I know.
Paul wasn't laughing. Thanks, Paul.
I was
waiting for the Spanish punchline.
Absolutely.
I had a fun show tonight. I did Timothy O'Toole.
Comedians You Should Know.
Yeah, it was a great show right around the corner.
That's a great show.
Jeff was my Periscope filming guy.
Camera.
As you should.
It went well.
Periscoping. Do you prefer the Periscoping over Facebook Live?
I love the Periscoping, especially for Brody. It's like instant feedback. It's good for him. I don't like the Facebook Live so much. The comments on there are not so good.
Okay, fair enough.
He likes Periscope and loves baseball. This guy's a real fan, and I hang out with the real fans. You know, I can go wherever I want. I could go sit in the grandstand.
Can you take me wherever you want? That's not a weird, but you know what I mean.
Hello. Looks like we're going to do another
Turn
segment.
Turn the lights back off.
I'll tell you what, I'm feeling just
there's so much. All the love in the air.
Absolutely.
Bleacher Jeff, you mentioned something earlier about someone getting there late. What is the appropriate time to arrive at the bleachers?
Well, if you want a good seat, you have to. The gates open 2 hours before game time all the time. So if you got to be there at least a half hour before that if you expect a quality seat.
And have you seen people removed from the bleachers for unruly behavior? Oh, how often
daily,
would you say?
Yeah.
Every single time?
Well,
I'm not saying I've been
daily,
in Cubby Jail, but I've been in Cubby Jail.
Yeah, it happens.
So indecent exposure, but that's neither here nor there.
really?
Oh,
classic.
Yeah.
Indecent exposure.
Indecent exposure. It's banned for the rest of the season, whatever. All they do is take a picture of they just photocopy your driver's license and whatever.
No.
But did they
I got a game ball. All you need to know is I got a game ball. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Game balls are precious.
They are. I still got
this
it myself.
Guy, it seems like
was
weird.
Against
mixed
the Cardinals.
Messages. You're like, how dare you? By the way, here's a ball.
Exactly. Well, it was the
well, the security kid's not the player gives him the ball.
Well, they said it was
because
it wasn't
they appreciated the
right
move,
exactly.
You know?
And it wasn't bare chested. I was showing off my bra and but apparently it was more the gesture of
right.
It
that's
was
enough,
oh.
That's enough.
It's a family show.
That
so.
Will do.
That'll do it. Yeah.
They throw baseballs up every day.
Bazio.
All
and,
the
Noble.
Pitching coach, the players, they'll all throw the balls up. Brizello, my little league teammate. Throws Jeff a ball.
That's cool.
And then Jeff will take the ball and give it to
kids. I find
kids.
A kid, yeah, of course.
We give it to kids. We don't keep the baseballs.
No, yeah, we don't need them.
Do you take selfies with the kids?
Sometimes.
That's
I think
creepy.
That's also kind of weird, yeah.
It's
that's
a little
not,
creepy,
it's a,
you're right.
There's a line
it
there.
It sounded wrong as soon as I said
yeah,
it.
There's
yeah,
there's a line there.
That seems accurate.
But you go there, you get a real feel for... The Wrigley Field is the friendly confines.
True.
I go to a lot of baseball stadiums, and there is... There's nothing like Wrigley to have the stadium right there. I mean, I go to Starbucks and then I walk right across the street in there.
How great is that Starbucks? It's wonderful.
There's a couple. They have a Starbucks right there that they built inside the Cubs building. It's the Starbucks Reserve. It's fine end coffee.
Well, you can get booze
it's still hard to get used to the new Wrigley. As somebody who's been going to Wrigley since I was a kid, and you walk out and it's kind of like... It used to be like, well, Wrigley's got, you know, a gravel parking lot. You're like, it's not a real baseball.
Oh, yeah, no.
It was kind of like going off the beaten path, and you're like, yeah, it's Wrigley. There's concrete falling down. And now there's, like, beautiful landscaping.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you're like.
Well, the Jumbotrons alone startled.
We've been hustlers for a long time. Mm. You're like, yeah, we're real fans. We love this team that plays in,
under
like
the lights.
A cool neighborhood, but it's a little weird.
It's like bleacher
but now it's like it's all polished up.
I still that night on August 8th, 1988.
Oh, I was there.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
No, were you really?
I was
really?
There as a 7-year-old.
Come on.
What?
Yeah. Yes. He's,
oh.
My grandmother took me. Yeah, 8888. I was there. The rained out game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the best part was the guy's slide on the tarp. Yeah.
The slip and slide was amazing. Right. It was the first night we were supposed to play under the lights, and of course,
as a 7-year-old, that's a dream.
But still, yeah. Of all the things that the Cubs have done, the jumbotrons are great. Yeah. Those lights are still beautiful. Like I see them every time, and I was like, God, they did a great job on the lights.
It's still weird.
Like, I'm still impressed, like, 2 decades later.
So you're there, in 88, you're 7.
Yeah.
Did somebody take a selfie with you?
No.
You got it.
That's Brody Stevens. He will be at the Cedar Rapids Turnbuckle Festival.
Yeah, Friday, which is coming up.
Yeah.
So this Friday, I'll be out there.
You better start driving now. You got to take a left to Canada.
Okay.
Well, take a left at the Blue Goose Market up there in St. Charles.
Just keep going. Once you hit the Blue Goose, then continue.
And they don't charge for bags? Is that correct?
No charge.
No bag charging? Absolutely
that's
not.
A city
that's
one,
reason.
Yeah.
That's reason alone. And the food is delicious,
in-house brats. Come on.
Quality.
So good.
I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, one last thing that I want to invite everybody, if you have never been to St. Charles, Fridays and Saturdays, we do a cookout outside, which is so much fun. You can't even believe it. 11 to 2. Amazing family atmosphere, Fridays, Saturdays. Come on out. You hang out. It's honestly one of the best places on earth to spend a summer lunch. Beautiful sun, beautiful scenery, rivers right there, great food. Come out and see me. Hang out. It will be an absolute blast.
Well, I love how much passion you have for what you do.
Is it kosher? No comment. Okay.
Wow.
Yes. I just don't even. I don't know how to respond. It is. I will do whatever you need.
It's kosher, but not in the ordained way.
Okay. There you go.
I mean,
I just threw that out there. I didn't mean to put Paul on the spot. I would never do that. Paul, I'm sorry.
I was calculating. Listen. Whatever you need, I will put it together. You would.
He
not
will have
believe.
A rabbi in the aisles.
I know the rabbis. I do know rabbis. I'll take care of it.
How's your salad bar?
Amazing.
I love kale. I love garbanzo beans.
I have that.
You have garbanzo beans?
Lots of organics.
Kale. I was talking about kale. Absolutely.
Can I order through Amazon?
Ramps.
Do you send out food like Omaha Steaks?
He will send a Lyft driver with a trunk full of
There's
Omaha
nothing
steaks.
I won't do here.
Chocolate like, bananas
I'm here to make
are good stuff.
I'm telling you,
bread
challenge
pudding.
Me. Challenge me. I will make you
Dakota, how do you impressed. Work like this all day long?
He's a challenge and a joy.
Excellent.
All the time.
I want to thank Paul and Dakota
it's
from
philosophy.
The Blue Goose Market. You guys have a safe trip back
Patty, you're
to St.
Amazing.
Charles.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, my pleasure.
This has been so much fun.
And Bleacher Jeff, I will see you in the bleachers.
Absolutely, anytime.
Is there a website you'd like to share with people?
Just at Bleacher Jeff on Twitter is fine.
Well,
you can follow Left
him
Field well. Just come down and say hi.
He's left field, the first row, seat,
right
there where the kind of like indents right by the State Farm.
Yeah.
He's there. You can't miss him. He's caught 5 home run baseballs.
Career.
What? And Brody Stevens, like I said, this Friday night, Cedar Rapids.
Yes, I need a lift.
Turnbuckle Festival. Your Twitter is Brody Stevens?
The Twitter is Brody is me friend.
I'm sorry.
Brody is me friend.
Okay.
I have food in my mouth. Based off a Mr. Lee, my busboy in New York. Brody, you good guy, you me friend. So it's an homage to him. Everything I do is an homage. So Brody is me friend on Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff.
And Brody Stevens' website, we only got through the first 3 pages of his resume and bio, so please make sure that you get to the rest of it on his website because it starts with Conan O'Brien, 1999, and from there.
Woo. Yeah, I did a sketch with Conan.
Oh, hold on 1 second. We have more information.
I wanted to just tell my story with Brody Stevens real quick. How I found out who he is and where he came from.
Oh, okay.
I went to a small show. Jeff Ross, the comedian, used to do this show called The Burn. And
he's
Brody,
the roast master,
and Brody was the opening act during the TV show,
the warm up guy.
And I thought, who is this guy? And we were all like busting laughing. Let alone a year later, I get the job at the radio station. He comes through Chicago. We sit for like 2 hours with host Jen Bosworth. So thank you, Brody, for coming back into the studio here at WGN.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. I'm glad you reached out, and I will be back.
Well, we look forward to it. Well,
absolutely.
Now you know where we are. If you come and look in the window, look, the cops are waiting for you to make sure everything is kosher.
I'm cool. I've dealt with cops before. I'm okay.
Hello, gentlemen. Or they were just at the red light and I'm just being a dork.
No, okay. They waved and said hi.
Did they wave and say hi? Excellent. We've got a lot of our friends in uniform all over the Chicagoland area. Thank you so much. Please.
Thank you. Had a great time.
Be safe. Yeah,
thanks for having me.
All right, then. No selfies with kids. I've duly noted.
Yeah, no, it's not a good idea.
Don't want to be creepy. All right,
never a good idea.
That's probably right. Good night, everybody. But when we come back, by the way, we are going to have an interview that I was fortunate enough to record with a mother. We're going to change gears. I know it's going to be weird. It's going to be a 180 degree, but this is a mother of a young man, and they're trying to make sure that he has a safe future. We're going to talk to a mom who's was down in Springfield for Rare Disease Day, and I know it's going to be a little bit of a shift, but here we are. More after this on 720 WGN.
You're listening pretty late. We are in the blue room in the basement of the state capitol. Joining me is Jody from the National Organization of Rare Disorders. And I was asking, where are you from, first of all?
Wheaton, Illinois.
And so how long of a drive is that when you come down to Springfield?
It's about a 3-hour drive.
Okay. And how did you feel about your day today? I know this is your second time being in Springfield. What did you feel about the experience you had today compared to what you did last year?
It was a little overwhelming last year. And the capitol was a little bit busier. I can't remember what was going on. But it was kind of crazy.
More hustle and bustle?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And we were moved around a lot more. This time it seemed a little bit calmer, so it was a little bit easier to find people to be able to talk to. This is the first time I got to talk to one of my legislators, so that was really cool.
So when you came down last year, what was it that drew you down here?
I wanted to have the legislators have a face of what a rare disorder is about. So I brought my daughter down, who has a very rare disorder. We call her the one in a million kid. Her disorder is hereditary sensory autonomic neuropathy type 2 non-Charcot-Marie tooth.
That is a lot.
It's a big mouthful.
How long did it take for you to get a diagnosis? Because that sounds like one that can get away from a specialist.
She was born a little bit early. We knew there were issues because she had club feet when she was born. So her feet curled up.
Okay.
So that we knew it was neurological. We actually didn't get a diagnosis till she was 9 months old. And that was what's called a sural nerve biopsy that went up to the Mayo Clinic. And we knew that she didn't feel pain externally. We figured that out over that period of time. So her disorder also entails GI issues, and that's how I got to know Anne, through all the GI things. And over the years, it had gotten worse. It's not a degenerative, but her GI got worse. And so she is medically fragile. She's on a central line to her heart for feeding, and she has a lot of other hard work. and she's not verbal. She's in a wheelchair.
And how old is she again?
She's 22.
22. Oh, your kids are the same age.
Mm-hmm. So we just finished going through the whole school system challenges with that. And
because at 21, our kids age out, don't they?
22.
They do. At 22.
On a 22nd birthday, they're done.
And in the state of Illinois, what happens next when a child comes out of the school
that's
system?
That's a really good question. Uh-huh. There are day programs out there. However, for kids like mine, there are no programs out there that can handle a day program for somebody who's medically fragile. So the vast majority end up at home or in an institution. My daughter is a hospital level of care, so she doesn't even fit into any of the organizations that are out there. So we're kind of, we need a lot of support, help, and so
in order
for her to be home.
So. Right, and in the work you've done, are there other states that you can point to that, do you know if there are other states doing it better than the state of Illinois? Because that's something that I always think about. I always worry. And I mentioned that to you guys earlier.
Yeah, I'm part of a medically fragile group that's online. It's a closed group on Facebook. And then there's an open group that they're working on. I forget what the name is.
Nationally Medically Complex Children and Families.
Yeah.
Okay.
More kind of nationally. Advocacy.
Right. And they're looking at the advocacy from the legislation level, too. I'm just kind of keeping an eye on everything since so much has been changing.
Right.
To figure out where we headed. Thing like the block grants is a huge issue for anybody that's had a medically fragile child on a waiver.
Right. So. Because I mean, that's the long-term plan. One of the hard parts that I try to explain to folks maybe who have never had the experience of having someone in their family who is medically fragile, has a rare disorder or disease is... it's very hard for us to imagine the future because we know the level of care we give our child. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, it's daunting to imagine what happens next when we're gone.
Right.
And there's a lot of planning that goes into that. Is that part of what drives you? I know. Is that part of what drives you coming down to Springfield?
That and just knowing what's happening tomorrow.
Yeah.
We, in my particular case, we are that family that is breaking from all the stress and the financial burden. So.
And what has been the response when you talked to your legislator? You said today you were able to.
Got to talk to him briefly. I basically laid the ground to have a conversation with him later because he's in a hurry.
May I ask who your legislator is?
It's Peter Breen.
Peter Breen. Okay. And again, that's Wheaton, Illinois.
Correct.
And do you feel like having met him now, do you feel comfortable maybe going into his office and saying?
Good.
Because that's what I'm talking
about. That was one of the reasons I wanted to come down and.
Is lay foundation.
Yes.
For building
yes.
a future, mm-hmm. you know, ability to have that exchange.
And through the Facebook group that I'm in, there's other families mm-hmm. that are dealing somewhat with the same issues. We're all, like Anna said, doing the same type of thing. But I felt it was really important to get on the legislation side to see these families are struggling.
Right.
They're failing. Mm-hmm. We can sort of be the poster child for that. But we're trying, and we are warriors trying to make it through day to day, let alone year to year. So.
And do you have other kids?
I do. I have a 16-year-old son who's a regular kid. And I worry for his future,
right?
And how he will handle dealing with lots of different issues now that are coming up for us as a family that's falling apart.
And when you have to tell people the very long title to what your daughter yeah. has, what kind of reaction do you get?
Usually, you get that blank face,
uh-huh. okay.
deer in the headlights. Okay. Uh-huh. Even neurologists are not familiar with it. In the last couple of years, it's become a little bit more familiar in what they call congenital insensitivity to pain. So that's the one. That's it's another type, but that sort of tells the story of not being able to feel external pain. And the dangers that are involved with that.
Yeah, that has to be a terrifying thing to find out. Your child is it the absence of pain or extremely high tolerance?
Absence of external pain for my daughter.
External, right.
But she feels GI pain,
okay.
excruciating GI pain. So it's really hard for doctors and everyone to wrap their head around that piece.
And do you have the opportunity, because one of the reasons I started coming down here was they were cutting off respite for a lot of people. Do you have access to respite? Do you have
She is nurse level of care
okay.
for any of our assistants. So we've never been able to do respite.
Never.
Never. Mm-hmm. So we pretty much don't get a break, quote unquote. And just this year I started going back to work because Sophie is fairly stable now.
Okay.
Fairly. But that could change in a heartbeat.
Right.
So it's been a long haul. I had quit a job I loved 21 years ago. so my full-time job was Sophie for many years without any assistance. And now we're now we deal with some of the waiver program, and she's old enough to get SSI, so we get that.
So that, but
and it's a little bit,
right.
but it goes a long way when everything else is falling apart. My husband went into a deep depression, and I hurt my back had a bad back for years. I finally had it worked on last year, so.
It's a lot of work. I don't think people realize the emotional and physical toll it takes,
yes.
to especially as your child gets older. And one of my friends and I talk about almost the cutesy age of a child with a disability. Once your child is like...
Reaches beyond that.
right. You know, people will smile and kind of, you know, look at a kid that's kind of... Because Declan will stop at a fence and rock back and forth. And then I imagine him when he's 20, they're going to call the cops.
Yep.
You know? Yep. Because it's not so cute anymore.
Right. And when it's a chronic illness and it goes on and on and on, you start losing people.
Yes.
You can't keep nurses for a long time. It's just the nature of the business and the life we lead. So
right. I know that it's not easy to come down here and to keep showing up, but I want to thank you so much for sharing your story. And
sure.
and we encourage you to keep doing so. Anything we can do to ever help, let us know.
Thank you.
Pretty late. All right, Jody, enjoy the rest of the day. It's nice. I don't know if you're going to go meet other legislators, but we will check back with you and see how everybody's doing. We're after this on 720 WGN.
You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And it is, we're winding down. Nick D is up next. Is Nick D's not in tonight? He can't be. You know why?
He isn't.
He shouldn't be. I'm so excited. I left the house and said something very strange to my son, which I hope it didn't bother him. It's a weird thing to say to your 13-year-old son, because I was very excited. I was leaving the house. I'm like, Nick D is going to be in the Walk of Fame tomorrow. And I said, Griffin, someday I'll tell you how Nick D helped me make you.
Wow.
Yeah. He goes, what? He goes, he wasn't there, was he? And I go, no, he was. So the very first time, and it's funny because Paul, our friend from Blue Goose Market, was very excited when he came in because he is such a huge fan. And I'm a huge fan of WGN Radio. My first time on WGN was with Milt Rosenberg back in 2001. My father was not doing well at the time. He was very sick. He was had just been diagnosed with small cell lung cancer. And we were spending a lot of time together. And I was still doing stand-up comedy. And I got a phone call from Milt Rosenberg's producers. He'd gotten my number from Bill Leff, and Milt was going to do a show about comedy. And so when I came in, Bill Leff and Steve Cochran. And Steve and I had actually worked together once doing a show at the Zanies all the way out in Vernon Hills with Brian McCann, who later became a writer for the Conan O'Brien show. And it was a fun night, but, Steve, I was a young comic, and I don't think, Steve was there with a bunch of people, and it was a huge, packed, sold-out show, so I didn't get much time to really talk to Steve Cochran, who I was also a fan of. And I did Milt Rosenberg's show, and Steve Cochran and I became friends, and that's how I became a regular guest on WGN Radio. And Steve used to fill in for Spike Odell on Thanksgiving Day. So we were all in that big studio, the one that was where now Howls and Hood is. And I'm just like everybody else who's a big fan of WGN. I'm a total geek. Grew up on Wally Phillips and Roy Leonard. I love Bobby Collins, Spike Odell, and of course becoming friends with Steve Cochran was unbelievable. But then we're in the studio and Nick D walks in, and the first thing is, "You helped me get pregnant." And so that's the truth, because Steve and I, my husband and I, had been married for 2 years. We were trying to get pregnant. We were struggling. I was actually just about to go to see a specialist to see if there was something else we could do. And I can't believe this is a story I'm telling for Nick D's Walk of Fame. But this
you
is
should ask to tell it tomorrow.
Yeah. No, I think I'd rather do it here. I don't think I can do it in the sunlight. There's something about being in the darkness that makes it all okay. But it was the summer that the Ya-Ya movie had come out. It's the one with Ashley Judd. It's a movie I liked a lot, but it was not well received. David Letterman did a joke about it in his monologue one night, and I watched that episode of David Letterman, and then I was in the car with my husband on the way home from a show, again, actually, in Vernon Hills, and we're listening to Nick DiGilio, and he did a trivia question. What movie was David Letterman talking about when he made this joke? And I called in, and the prize was a weekend at a hotel for the Big Balloon Festival in Lisle, Illinois. And I won because I knew the answer. And so Steve and I took the weekend, and we went to this hotel. And that is the weekend, because I know exactly when, because it was the only time that we, participated in the activities. That facilitate that sort of thing. So Nick DiGilio helped me get pregnant. Mm-hmm. So that's
just helping people all over.
Just helping people all. We never made it to the balloon festival, is all I'm saying.
That's why he gets the Walk of Fame.
It was the hot air balloon festival. Yeah, Griffin. Mm-hmm. You know what? Without Nick D, there might not be a Griffin. I just got a little bit choked up. I'm just saying. So there you go. I have another break. Do we have that audio?
Yes, we do.
Can we do that? We should do it before we do the break or after we come back?
I think that's a great tease to find out what this audio is.
What's this audio? Mm-hmm. There is some music that I think a lot of people feel this way. We're going to get the perspective of someone who is really frustrated with a budget in the state of Illinois when we come back on 720 WGN. Tell me something good. My something good is that I am back home in Chicago. I'm going back to Springfield on Monday. The deadline for the budget is on Wednesday. I'm not optimistic, but I have hope. I've given the state of Illinois a 15% chance of having a budget by next Wednesday. So that's not great. Vic Vaughn, would you say that those are good odds? If someone told you you have a 15% odds, 15% chance.
I think, like you said, that's probably being optimistic.
I know. I just want to be more optimistic than Rick Pearson. That's all I'm really going for at this time. My legislator, I don't know how cool your legislator is, but my legislator plays the guitar and put his feelings about the budget into music.
Sitting here on the House floor, hoping for a budget I can vote for. Ooh, sitting here on the House floor, wasting time. I left my home in Norwich, hoping for a change I could make. I signed up for a tier 2 pension. Looks like I'll be broke when I'm 88. For a budget deal I can vote for.
Yeah, you can. I think you can hear in his voice, Vic. I know that's how miserable they are. Is you know what? There's nothing left to do but to sing about it. I guess is having the blues.
Yeah, and I think that kind of brought us all together from both sides of the aisle there in Illinois.
Yeah, I mean, wasting time on the House floor. Now the budget does lie with the House of Representatives. It's up to them to either pass or not pass the Senate's budget, or come up with their own. So we'll see what happens. That was Representative Robert Martwick of the Rootin' Tootin' 19th District. And there was more to that song, so I did save you all from that, but I enjoyed it. He has guitar sessions when the day's over. He's like, I got to go to my office and play the guitar. That's really what he does when he's hot. What are the texts looking like on that one?
Let's see here. Loved it. Can't get enough of that. Where can we buy the CD from the 630? We want more of this encore from the 815.
Yeah. Here's the question. How quickly did you make those up in your head? And two, who is in next for Nick D?
I'm not sure. This is anyone... we got to go to Esmeralda on this.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. It's Brian Noonan.
Brian Noonan.
I don't know why I
love him.
Brian Noonan. I love that guy. Mm-hmm. He is adored by many far and wide. Brian Noonan is up next. And we hope you guys all tune in. You have to tune in for the Walk of Fame tomorrow morning starting at 10 a.m. Come on down. I think it's supposed to be nice out. Even if it's not nice out, I'll be here because last year I fell asleep and didn't come in. I was right on the other side of the wall. It was right on the outside of my office. I was sleeping in my office and I didn't make it. I'm gonna make it this time.
You were there.
I was there. I made it in time.
In spirit.
I was physically there. Y'all didn't see me is all. So I will be there in the morning because I'm going home and catching the train back. My husband's gonna wake me up. That's literally what I have to do to make sure I make it here is go all the way home and come all the way back. So that works out fine. Thank you all for joining us tonight.